You don't do it alone. You don't do anything in the world alone. We're with a team from when we're born. Our first team is our family. Then we get to play on teams, and then you have to work on teams, and your job is a team. So I think just building that team mentality and being able to ask for help and utilize resources.
Welcome to another episode of the Leading Edge Podcast. I'm Brian Spielman, and today we're excited to share an interview with Hall of Fame field hockey coach Michelle Madison. Highlights of Coach Madison's impressive resume include leading three separate field hockey programs to the NCAA tournament, as well as representing the United States as a coach in multiple Olympics. This interview was originally recorded as part of the Snap Raise Live webinar series hosted by JT Rogan and has been shortened for the Leading Edge Podcast. If you're interested in upcoming Snap Raise Live webinars where you can ask questions live to leaders and legends, search Snap Raise Live in your search engine of choice for more information. With that, please enjoy Hall of Fame coach Michelle Madison.
Coach Madison, first and foremost, thank you for joining us today. I want to start maybe with the elephant in the room, is just how difficult has this time been for you, knowing all the great work that you get done in your spring season to progress towards the coming season in the fall?
Yeah, it's difficult for everybody. The uncertainty is the big elephant, and how do you operate and still stay motivated and inspired and still work really hard, not knowing if you're even going to have a season. I think that's been the hardest part for the athletes, and we just take day by day and try to work through it. And I told them every time we play a game, we step on the field, we don't know if we're going to win. There's uncertainty there, and you still have to give it your all. So that's how we're going to operate. We're just trying to give it our all and prepare the best we can.
Have you found that your players have really been working hard, staying positive, motivated, interacting, et cetera, and really keeping the optimism for the coming season?
Yes, especially the leaders, Rachel and Michaela. They're just amazing in how they keep the groups going. They divide the team up for cardio, and they do virtual cardio and workout exercises, and I give them a summer checklist to do, and now they made it into a competition. So they're having fun with it, and that's the most important part. Now we're going through the NC2A, just we think is voting on as we speak. I couldn't go on the compliance call because I'm talking to you, to allow them to play, to us to have virtual hockey even through June, which will be a challenge and even a decision. Is that something we want to do? To touch base and do some team building things, yes, but to really push the hockey at this point, I'm trying to make a decision and work with my leaders and staff through that decision.
When you took over in the mid-2000s, you had a project on your hands. You had already taken two teams to the NCAA tournament, and you don't just want to go, you want to go and compete and thrive and succeed. And so when you started there, what was your vision like, and how did you take the program from where it was to where it is right now?
Well, I knew that there were great athletes already there, and it's an amazing school, and the ability to recruit is just, I have almost every top 10 player, on campus, and some days some recruiting trips were just amazing, and on official visits where they came to campus and you have the top five kids sitting there in your office, considering Virginia. And to have Paige Zielinski and Michelle Batiste, and I don't even want to start naming them because I'll forget so many. There's so many to say. But the important part was, in the beginning, you have to start off strong and set a tempo for the culture we were gonna push for success. Not knowing the culture at Virginia was the most difficult, but I didn't know the culture at Temple. You just hear things. I didn't know it at Michigan State, but I knew Virginia had success in the late 90s, and it's usually easier to bring them back to success than it would be to take a team who had never really won, like Michigan State. That was the most difficult. But as the athletes will tell you, we moved out of the locker room. I sent them a letter and told them I wanted times for these distances and move out of the locker room. And as soon as we become a team, we'll take the locker room and start operating like a team. So that was the hardest thing, I think, for them. But I knew they need to understand that fitness was important, but also being truthful about what you do So the first thing we did, we went to the track. I took the times that they sent me that they did and said, okay, let's run the runs. And, you know, so it created a lot of discussion at that point of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and how we were going to proceed with honesty.
With millennial culture, I'm sure there are challenges and obstacles in battling different attitudes. And you might get less of that at Virginia because it's such an outstanding academic institution. But, you know, just doing the work, sometimes planning and preparation turns into procrastination, and everybody's got a million different ways about how they think you can do something. But just getting them to go out there and do it and apply the effort and, you know, 70% of life is showing up. There are all these adages about it. So, I mean, is that was that your thought? It's like, we need to just get a higher baseline. We need to set a higher standard, and then we can have conversations about growing and building and evolving into a championship level team. That was your mindset, you think, from the outset?
Yes, that's always my mindset, and that's what UVA wanted. That's what they hired me to do. And then the players said that's what their dream was. That's what they wanted. That was a program goal, to win a national championship. So then the building blocks start, and it starts with, you know, skill development first, but the mind, like you said, the mental aspect of it, believing it, getting success. They hadn't won an ACC game, I think, in, I don't remember how long. And I think our first game, if my memory serves me, was North Carolina, and we beat them down there 1-0 with that first team. And it was just like, they were just beside themselves. But you need to win to build confidence, and you need confidence to win. So it's always that
chicken,
you know,
or the egg.
That build their confidence. You can do this. You can do it. Just focus on the process. So we implemented a performance-based program early on with a lot of statistics, and just for feedback purposes, team performance statistics, as well as individual. And just involved the team a lot with setting the objectives, the daily objectives of how we were going to perform.
You've got a fantastic career and a bio to rival any in the sport. Your time at Rutgers, coaching at Temple, Olympic, Michigan State. When you look back on your career as an athlete and as a coach, what are some of the things that really stick out to you that you've carried with you, that you've learned from other people, that you've discovered through playing and coaching yourself? I guess, what are some of the real banner moments as you think back on your career of being a Hall of Fame coach?
Yeah, you give me goosebumps. It's funny how it all started, because I was a basketball player. I had no intention of playing field hockey. My basketball coach was the field hockey coach in high school, and she's just told me, I know Gloria Byers on the call, and she knows her, and I used to go watch Gloria play lacrosse and Kathy Maton, and they were just like, yeah, you're too short to play basketball. So I was like, what do you mean? So I went to Rutgers, tried out for the team. I was one of five goalies, and I guess coaching-wise, it happened at a summer camp. I had to coach a deaf team from Washington, D.C., I think it was, and I had the goalie first, and then I asked to coach the team at night. And to be able to communicate, and that feeling that I could teach even somebody who couldn't hear necessarily. And that moment, I still remember that moment, like, wow, maybe I can do this. You know, maybe I can coach or inspire people to learn. And their enthusiasm for the game was amazing. So that was contagious too. And then, ask the question again.
Just with moments, other moments. I mean, if you look back at Temple or Michigan State or the Olympics, you've had so many great experiences. You know, what do you pull? And they can even be anecdotal. They don't have to be the best moments, but things that really stick out. I mean, like that. That's an awesome story about coaching a deaf team, and that inspires you to say, man, if I can connect with somebody who's deprived of one of their senses, then maybe this is for me. Like, that's a great – are there other things like that where you just – you made an impact on a player, or you saw a result, or you gathered something from an experience that you really thought, hey, this is something awesome?
Yeah. I mean, coaching at Temple, I love the mentality of Temple. I love the go through the brick wall. I had to keep players from running into I think the flyer, Mo Scali, she's a cardiologist now. She would just, at practice, she would fly on defensive corners and run right through the stick stopper. And I was like, Mo, you can't run into the stick stopper. Why? I don't care. I'm like, I care. Like, you can't, you know, that mentality of just to do anything for the win. And we didn't have the talent. We didn't have the top recruits until we had Tony Byer, Gloria's daughter, come, and Jane Catanzaro was there, who still holds scoring records. And to get that team to play, that's where I learned that, you know, mentality is everything. We used to say, you know, attitude is everything. That's Temple's thing, but it was how you treat each other and how you think and what you want to accomplish together. So when I got the job at Michigan State, I didn't really want to go. My boss had told me, Charlie Theokas, get another job offer and we'll give you your second assistant. And so I get the job offer and he goes, well, Big Ten called, so you're out of here. I was like, what? So there I go back to Michigan State. And it was a lot to bite off. That was huge in terms of just making the whole thing about confidence before winning, winning before confidence. And that was, yeah, I pulled every trick out of the hat to try to get those kids to believe and to be successful. But once it starts snowballing, once you start winning and they start believing, it happened. So you're like, oh, wow, okay, I did it again. We won the A-10 title, and then we won the Big Ten title. And then when Virginia called, I didn't really want to go. And the Duke basketball coach, just lost her name. She was a Michigan State basketball coach who had just gone to the Final Four. And she said, if Virginia called me for an interview, I'd be out of here. I'm like, really? She goes, you're going on that interview. I'm like, okay. So I went on the interview. But between that, the Olympics was huge. And the successful people I met through those Olympic endeavors, you know, Pam Hickson and Missy Maharg from America that I worked with, and Karina Benninghaw. But then I got a chance to work, get to know the Australian coaches when they were at the top of their game. And Richard Charlesworth is my mentor. I mean, I read everything he writes, and we have a good relationship where I could talk to him and if I needed to. And Chris Spice came over and worked with me. That's a huge, long story, but he was the assistant for Richard at the time, and that was all from being at the Olympics. I guess closing ceremonies, that's the 96 Olympics, closing ceremonies from the Seoul Olympics, I remember just sitting on the sidewall thinking, wow, what just happened? And how did a kid from Williamstown, New Jersey end up at Seoul, Korea Olympics, like in it? So that was, I remember that pretty specifically. And it's just everyone. It's like all little things. It's no one big thing. It's just all the unbelievable, fantastic people that I've had a chance to meet and work with, my staffs that I worked with, that just challenge me every day, and the players. And I wish I had a better answer.
But no, that's a perfect answer. And you've coached some really fantastic players. And I think that's a good segue into that. And I don't know, you talk about winning and confidence and winning. And I don't know if the players make the coach great or vice versa. I've heard the saying, it's not about the X's and the O's, it's about the Jessies and the Jones. And so when you look at your career of coaching players and so many great players, you've had some especially phenomenal ones at Virginia. How have you found that you've been able to get the absolute most out of them to perform at their peak level?
Yeah, that is a big challenge with team sports, because you tend to default to the middle. So you're coaching the biggest group, and you can't just do that, because then your top players aren't challenged, and maybe it's too difficult for some of the lower level players. So finding that balance and finding a way to challenge everybody and inspire everyone to give what they can give. It starts with be yourself. You have to be yourself. It's a chance to come to college and just put yourself out there. And then just give it your all. Everyone has a talent and everyone has something to do. Like Jane Catanzaro, I think, scored 103 goals in her final 2 years that I was there. And all I told her was, you have a green light. Just go. Just go to goal. Because she just had this, you know, a knack for scoring. But Lori Warnicka, who was the right wing, she's the one who ended up the season with the most assists, because she was the one giving the ball to Jane. You know, and those combinations and those players, that was fun. And then move forward to Virginia. I mean, it started with Taylor Swayze, that whole class, my first recruiting class, top players in the country who committed early. And and then it just snowballed from there with Michelle, that whole family, and Paige Zielinski. And oh boy, now I'm stuck.
With a Hall of Fame career, I mean, you're going to leave someone out. You know, you see it in the Oscars acceptance speeches, right? They feel like they always forget a handful of people, and then they start, you know, reading off names really quickly as they come into their mind and everything.
some of the other players. I had a player, Mara Mabley at Michigan State, that the team voted her MVP, and she never played a second. And that's just because what she brought to the field. Everyone has something to give. I tell them I could carry 100 people on the team if everyone was just there to give. But if you're here to take, then we need someone extra to take care of what you're taking and not giving. So, you know, she just gave in her energy and enthusiasm, and the team realized, wow, she's our MVP, you know, just from how she inspired the team on a daily basis. So it doesn't take a star. In my mind, they're all stars, or all of them are stars because of just what they do every day. And especially at Virginia, they're overachievers, they're perfectionists. And, you know, you ask about millenniums and, you know, they have answers faster than the questions come. And I just try to teach them that the game is the teacher. The game will teach you, you know, all the information you need is right in front of you, and try to back your instincts.
Well, Coach Madison, the success that you've been achieving lately, I don't know what you point to. I don't know if it's a lifetime achievement award that finally at the end of your career, you get to have your best teams. It doesn't always work out that way. You know, the best rarely go out on top, but right now your squads are so ultra competitive. And I guess, is that an accumulation of your knowledge of the game and the sport and how to recruit better, how to win, the import players from Europe and elsewhere? I guess I'm wondering how it is that you've got things rolling so well at Virginia right now.
Well, I think one, the whole athletic department is so successful. So it's success begets success. They all want to win. All the teams want to win. So I think that matters. You know, once basketball won the national championship in lacrosse, and everyone wants to win the national championship, and it just sparks them, and, you know, they get to, you know, make fun of each other and poke fun at each other. But yeah, I mean, it's about athletes for sure. And like I said, I get to pick the best from the best, and that's awesome. But there's also the other huge group of athletes that you need to play that aren't the star players, you know, the glue players. And I think they're as important as anybody else. But I've had amazing stats from, you know, from Chris Spice, who came here and taught me how the Australian played their system. And we installed it here, and the kids picked it up so fast. And I think that gave us an edge early on with the way we attack. And I think the Boston College coach, Ainsley, said that's why she retired, because she couldn't stand playing against us anymore. She goes, "What the hell are you guys doing?" And I think Jared from Harvard even said he got to see us from up above at a neutral game we played at Harvard. And he said, "Now I see there's a system. I thought you guys were just running around." So we were able to keep people at bay for a while, keep them guessing while we build our defense. But he was awesome. And Iacopuzzo was actually the one we went to the Final Four with. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Iacopuzzo. And then yeah, Alice Kaiser, who came with me, was an amazing recruiter with very little coaching experience. But I took a chance that she could help sell the program and help connect with the players really well of what she did. Yeah, and then Sean Hindy. And yeah, I just had great staffs. And you don't do it alone. You don't do anything in the world alone. We're with a team from when we're born. Our first team is our family. Then we get to play on teams, and then you have to work on teams, and your job is a team. So I think just building that team mentality and being able to ask for help and utilize resources. I think Virginia does a great job teaching their students to utilize resources and providing resources to be great.
When you consider your approach to the game, it sounds like you're just a lifelong learner and you're always trying to make yourself better. Is that kind of a constant personal and professional development investment? Reading, listening, learning, whatever you can do. What are you reading right there? What's your literature in your hands?
All Champions Thinks. That's what the team's reading this summer.
Okay. If anyone
wants to read that, we'll have a little talk on that. World's Best is just one of Rick Charles' first books that I read, because I was in the international hockey when he was coaching the hockey crew, so I can relate to a lot that's going on. And not Allison Annan, who's the coach of the Dutch women, she was the big time scorer there for the hockey crews. And there's another one, Captain's book. I forget what it's called, but I'm reading that with the leadership group. We're talking about that right now. So yeah, I mean, this COVID time, it's terrible, and I hope everybody's families are okay and healthy. But it's a time of reflection, and it's a time of learning, and we want to emerge better somehow. We want to emerge from this better and to take the game to a different level. How we're going to do that, we don't know, but it's worth talking about and just having the time to read and to research things that are going to make us better.
If you had to recommend one around, you know, either this time or team building or whatever, and I know, and you can get to, you can have as many as you want. This is your webinar, but when you think about texts, what do you think?
Well, it's a children's book. Give it to the seniors. I have given it to seniors almost every year when they graduate. I don't know when I started that, but Hope for the Flowers, just the metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's just a story of two different ways that the butterfly, Yellow and Stripe are their names, how one became the butterfly on the road, the other one took. And there's just a lot of things about life and how you want to conduct yourself and how do you want to reach the top. Do you want to just stomp on everyone's face and get to the top and get to the top just to get to the top? Or do you want to, you know, enjoy life and really smell the roses and actualize, you know, your experiences so you can become, you know, the butterfly. But anyways, my favorite little ones. It's more people, I would say. Hoosiers, the movie Hoosiers. Dana talked about that one when the coach just holds up the basketball and puts a little dot on it and says, if this represents how much I know about basketball, and he was a championship coach, you know even less, you know, and to keep you humbled and the team to know that everyone knows something, they just know, you know, from their own experiences. And yeah, and there's just so much out there to learn from, and you just pick a little bit from everyone. But the Hoosiers, of course, it's just an underdog team that just believes. They just believe it's just a game, and go play the game for each other and go play it for the love of the game. And it doesn't matter who the other team is. You're playing it for your buddies.
Well, so. Coach, you mentioned the butterfly book, and I guess it's appropriate to ask, you know, what is your grand vision for the rest of your life and your coaching career and actualizing your best reality? I know it's a big, heavy hitting question to end with, but you know, put it out there. Let everybody else help you manifest your dreams into reality.
I live it every day. I already live it every day, and I miss it now. But actually, being on the field, I could coach the rest of my life till I die if I could just do the coaching part. You know, to be on the field part and to help people, young women, believe in themselves. And to there was a coach, Barb Satina was her name, from Shippensburg. It was also at the Tobiana field hockey camp, and we were just having a chat, and we were just talking about something, and she was like, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're going to be right. And I did, that has always just stuck in my head, and to just try to help young women just believe you can, and like you said, manifest it. What you believe and what you get other people to join in on, you get to accomplish things that are bigger than you. And that's what a team does. So we want to be, you know, our some of our parts, you know, synergy, whatever that is. That was one of our little talks one year. But just that our some of our parts are bigger. We're bigger than anything we could do alone. And that moment of joy when the teams do finally win, or that happened twice in my career where I felt this team doesn't need me anymore, and I was just so happy. I was like, they've got it. They're just driven by themselves, and you know, they're doing it for the right reasons. It's not for the trophy. It's not for the championship ring. They think that's what it's for, but once they get there, they realize it's for that feeling that you can't even put words to.
As we say our thank yous to you for joining us, I guess what are you going to leave us with? Give us some knowledge or parting words of wisdom, because you are the only Hall of Fame coach that we have had on thus far, and you are a leader and a legend. It's rare that we have someone fit both billings. So what do you have to say?
Just enjoy your life. Enjoy this time that we're able to spend extra time with special friends and family that we wouldn't normally have. I call it a big timeout, or the never-ending timeout. Because it's all going to go back to normal soon, and we'll just be back in the same rat race. So enjoy the time now you have with loved ones. Take care of your family. Family's first. And just go play.
That will do it for another episode of the Leading Edge podcast presented by SnapRaise. Thank you to Coach Madison for sharing her time and expertise, and thank you for listening.